When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. This is a Herd at Sports podcast. Justin here, along with Derek. Tyler is out this week. Tyler had a baby. So big congratulations to Tyler, Mrs. Tyler, and baby Peyton, bringing another cousin into the world. That's awesome. Who knows? Maybe in 20, 25 years, you'll see a Husker Cuzcast Girls Edition. Who knows? Who knows? I'm excited. Derek, what do you think?
Well, the first thing I think is I think Mrs. Tyler would tell you that she had the baby, not Tyler. I'm pretty sure she went through more of the pain than he did.
Oh, well, Tyler's taking all credit for it. His junk is all sore and all that. He had a baby. Come on.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy for both of them. And I've seen a picture of little Miss Peyton, and what a good-looking little baby.
Thank God. Looks like Mama.
Can't wait to meet her. Yeah, it's good. Couldn't be more happy for the two of them.
Yeah. If it looked like Tyler, that baby would be breathtaking, right? All right, Derek.
Not that I have a lot of room to talk, but I'm pretty sure she has more hair already.
That is definitely true. I can't even argue that point. Well, Derek, it is game week here in Lincoln. 11 a.m. on Saturday. It's a BTN kickoff. Great weather in Lincoln. Are you going?
No, absolutely not. I haven't gone to a spring game in I don't know how many years. I'll be sitting at home watching it. Yeah, it is. But I'll be sitting at home watching it for even cheaper on TV. Probably drinking a few beers, enjoying
shocked.
It.
Shocked. Completely yeah. Shocked.
There's a lot to be watching for. Hoping for a little more exciting than the last few years, but it's not really sounding very good on that level. But
no.
Let's see what happens. A lot of vanilla talk.
Vanilla, yeah. Get some vanilla ice cream with that. But I'm excited. We don't know the spring game format yet. Matt Rhule has already said it's going to be vanilla, which, that's kind of what you expect, right? Quarterbacks are no contact.
We really need Connor to go ahead and edit this where he starts playing Ice Baby here, right?
Yes. No kid, vanilla ice. Anyway, quarterback's going to be playing with all three teams, so I'm kind of curious how that's going to look. Don't know the format, but I do expect there to be tackling, not a thud spring game like what was under Scott Frost. So as long as there's tackling and it makes it look like football, I don't care if quarterbacks are no contact. As long as it looks like football, I think I can live with that.
I am excited to see a little bit how this quarterback works out, that they're going to play with all three teams. Makes me wonder if they're going to bring a spring league that they've been doing all spring into the spring game. Not real sure how that would work. But when Satterfield comes out and says that he expects all three quarterbacks to play with all three teams, I don't know what else to think, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something to keep an eye on. But when Saturday comes around, what do you want to see more of? I mean, what would you like to see more? Would you rather see an offensive explosion or would you rather see a defensive shutdown?
Well, I think an offensive explosion generally is more exciting. You know what I mean?
Okay, EJ. All right. I see what you did there.
I think an offensive explosion would give me a little more of what we like to joke around about the warm and fuzzies, right?
Yeah.
Like, if our defense shuts them down, I think our defense did what I expected our defense to do. And then I'm still worried about our offense.
Right.
So if I see an offensive explosion, I might sit here and go, oh, shit, we might actually be a really good team this year. So I think an offensive explosion would definitely make the Kool-Aid.
Big plays.
It would definitely make the Kool-Aid a little sweeter, I think.
So in that offensive explosion, what do you want to see? Like big plays, big explosive plays, or do you want to see long sustained drives? Or do you care?
I don't care. Ultimately, I guess what I expect out of a rural offense is long sustained drives. I don't expect a ton of explosive plays, only because that's what he wants to do, right? Like, you know how you make a really good defense? Just leave them off the field.
Right.
Other team can't get yards or points if they're not on the field.
True.
So I think that's what Rule ultimately would like to do, and that would help out Tony White a ton. And I mean, I can't wait to see what some of these guys are going to do. You're starting to hear a lot of names. The only thing I'm hoping we're not going to see, and I think it scares me a little bit for this game, and it makes me a little less excited, is, you know, he sat out the more experienced players these last two scrimmages.
Right.
And so I don't want to see that in the spring game. Like, let them play. It's their last practice. I know it's more for fun than it's more for the fans. So let them play.
Yeah.
You don't have to exploit anything. You don't have to show anything big. But let the big names play so that the fans can be excited for something.
Yeah, there's been about, you know, like eight names that have really been really sitting out of the scrimmages. And I'll butcher all of them if I try to name them all. But, you know, on the offensive line, Bryce Benhart and Ben Scott. They sat out.
Ty Robinson, Nash Hotmacher has been sitting out a lot. Banks. You know, that guy, someone we all really, really want to see. So I'd hate for him to – I'd hate for him to Casey Thomas him, you know. Come in and let him play for a series or two and then
bench. Oh, Casey Thompson, yeah. That year was terrible.
Yeah. So I want to see some of these experienced players play. I don't need to see any trick plays or anything that's going to expose the offense for the season. I don't need UTEP having 8 months or 6 months worth of tape to study. But show us a little something. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, ISO counter. Well, throw the ball a little bit. Let us see what Dylan Royola can do. Let us see what Daniel Kalen can do.
So I think we will see that. I just don't think that we'll be seeing it against, I don't think he'll be throwing it to Jamal Banks. Jamal Banks, I think one or two series, if we get that out of him, he's played a lot of football. He's been sitting in the scrimmages. I think that trend will continue this week. Maybe
I agree. I think it will.
But there's no reason to put them out there for any long period, right?
So I remember when it used to always be like you left a lot of the big names in for the first half, and the second half's all third and fourth string.
Dude, college football.
I would like to go back to that. And I know it's not going.
College football has changed so much since then.
Ole Miss is having hot dog eating contests on the sidelines. So,
I mean, that sounds fun to watch. All right. So there's some intriguing position battles that are going to take place on Saturday. Which intriguing position battle are you looking forward to?
I think you have to start with the wide receivers. I know we've already kind of talked about them. I'm in a boat where I think Jamal Banks is a starter. He's probably your number one guy. I'm not going to argue that. And then I think there's four or five guys at behind him that you're all sitting here going, they're definitely in the two deep, but I mean, who's starting? Who's where? I mean, Jamal Lloyd, is he a starter? Is he a two deep guy?
Jalen Lloyd.
I'm sorry. You know, Malachi Coleman, where's he going to fit in? Of course, we're not going to find that out in this because I don't think he's going to play in the spring game.
Right.
You know, you're hearing a lot about Demetrius Bell. Like, I'm curious to know what it is he's going to do. Ja'Cory Barney, yeah. You're hearing a lot about him. I'm curious to know what he's going to do. You still got Isaiah Nair. You know, I mean, he's a senior. I know a lot of people are kind of just penciling him as a starter. I think he's got a little battle left in him, but maybe I'm wrong.
You know, a player, and I don't know the reason. Maybe he's injured, but I'm not hearing a lot about Alex Bullock this spring.
I haven't heard much about him.
Is he dinged
up? If I was a guessing man, I would say he's probably getting passed up. Like some of the players, like Jaden Doss, has been in the system for a year. Jalen Lloyd's been in the system for a year. Malachi Coleman, been in there for a full year now. Then you got the Demetrius Bell, who's been in there for a full year.
He's getting high praise, yeah.
You know, I mean, some of these guys are getting into their growth year.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's just getting passed up. Maybe he is dinged up. I don't know. I don't want to make it sound like he's not doing something right, because I don't know.
I mean, but he started last year.
He did start last year. Yeah. But it was more out of necessity than.
Sure. Well, he's a junior now, you know. But, yeah, I thought that was just interesting out of that room.
And I would hate to see him out of the two deep. I'd like to see him stay in the two deep. I don't know if there's a lot of room from that two deep. I mean, you only got six guys in the two deep, right?
Right. Do you think there's more than you really think that there's more than six that could be fighting for the two deep?
I mean, I just named five or six guys right there that everyone assumes is going to be in the two deep. Then you had news that Jenner and Bonner was taking a lot of reps at wide receiver again.
That's interesting there, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, but then you got EJ Barthel coming out saying, yeah, he's still taking reps at tight end and fullback. So I'm a little curious on what they're going to do with him.
He's like the Wandale Robinson, man. He's just play a little bit of everything.
But, you know, I was reading on three, and I think Sip was saying that he really thought Jenner and Bonner would be in the two deep for a wide receiver. And I kind of get a kick out of it because between 24/7 and on three, I read a lot of articles from both. But between the two of them, I'm counting like eight or nine guys that they have in the two deep. And I'm like, I don't think that's quite how it works. you're kind of going three deep now. But unless we're playing a lot of four wideouts.
Well, I think there's a lot of unknowns. And that's what makes this an intriguing position battle.
It absolutely does. And I've named a lot of players. You know a lot of players as well. But, like, not outside of one or two guys, there's really no guaranteed guy, right? They all have something to prove.
Yeah, you're right. And this is wide open. And that's why when we did our position group rankings, you know, a few weeks back, I mean, this was one of the teams on the bottom of my list because, I mean, there's everybody is kind of like not a gamble, but unproven, you know?
Yeah.
You've seen flashes of brilliance, but they haven't really done a lot at this, at the collegiate level yet.
And I'm probably reading a little too much into some of what the coaches are saying, some of what the media is saying. And they're talking so highly on some of these guys. I'm sitting here going, man, seems like this room's really good right now.
Yeah. And I guess I kind of misspoke. I said at the collegiate level. What I meant to say is at the Power 5 level. You know, with guys like Nair, who is coming from Wyoming, and Isaiah Garcia Castaneda, who for some reason just hasn't panned out at Nebraska.
He had one game where you thought he was going to be the biggest super stud out there.
So there's a whole bunch of guys at this position that want to prove something. So that's what makes this intriguing. Another intriguing position battle for me is the running back room. I really want to see how this is going to pan out. I mean, you have guys that, like, we're big fans of Emmett Johnson, right? Emmett Johnson, he came on to be a stud. He wasn't asked upon to do anything at the beginning of the year, but at the end of the year, the last half of the year, he was the guy. He was the guy, and he took it on. Super impressed. Bring in a transfer from Oregon, Dante Dowdle. We'll see how what he's going to do. Tyler's big on him.
Tyler's huge on him. And I'm not throwing him out to the wolves yet. Like, I think he's the potential's there.
Yeah.
He's just young and a little inexperienced yet, but potential's definitely there for this kid.
Yeah.
Here's my only issue with that being the intriguing battle is so you have Gabe Irvin still out.
Who's out for the sprint, yeah.
Yeah, and then Ramirez Johnson, who apparently is okay to play.
He's limited. He's limited.
And then Satterfield called him Raheem. I don't know if you happened to catch that.
No, and you can tell on his face, he's like, Raheem? Who the hell is that Raheem? Right? He's that ain't right. It's like, Ramirez.
I got a chuckle out of that. I kind of laughed. I bet Ramirez probably did not find it quite as
funny.
It's
like Tyler Satterfield, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
The Butcher.
It wouldn't have been great if somebody would have been like, brought to you by
TJ's Butcher Shop. This is for you.
But I'm intrigued by the position battle. I'm just wondering where it ends in spring, because you have to know it starts all over in the fall again. With Gabe Irvin back.
And that's what you want, because we went through like four backs last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hope Gabe Irvin comes back 100%. And I hope he's ready to go. I'd like to see him stay healthy for a year. I don't want to count him out. His injury issues do worry me, but man, what a career that kid could have had if he could have stayed healthy.
So I don't know if we've heard a lot about Quentin Ives out of spring. I mean, you've heard his name mentioned, but there's Maurice Mascula. You're hearing a lot about him.
It seems like we're hearing Quentin Ives the same as we did last year. Like, in the fall, we were really hearing about Quentin Ives. Sure. Matt Rhule really liked Quentin Ives. And it seems like they really like him now, too. But, Mascula, he just really seems to be really impressing him. From what I'm reading, he sounds more like a third down back kind of kid. Like, I don't know that he's going to be. But, I mean, if you can get a third down back, which I don't know if we have a lot of those right now. So I'm all for it. Like, I love the walk-on story.
Oh, of course. Well, I mean, so he is a senior. He played in Division II at Chesterfield. I don't know.
West Chester? Yeah.
It's a school I've never heard of. He played a couple of years there. Last year was his first year at Nebraska. Didn't even know he existed on the roster last year. Then you start hearing his name this year. His brother is
Micah
from Florida, the guard.
Baylor,
Florida. So he's coming. They're brothers. They look nothing alike. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito.
it really almost is like. So I was looking at it, and I was kind of joking with you earlier before we started recording this, but Micah's 6'5", like 320 pounds, I think.
Big dude,
something like that. Yeah, he's a massive being. And his brother, what's his brother's name?
Maurice.
He's 5'8", 175 pounds. Like, he almost weighs half of what Mascula does.
Yeah.
Damn near almost exactly halfway. And it's like, he's got 5'9" on him.
Yeah.
There's, it's, It's a big difference between those two. I'm betting Maurice didn't win a lot of fights as kids.
Hey, that's why he's a tough dude and making a Power 5 roster today.
So, I mean, when I say fights, I mean between him and his brother. Not,
no, I understand. But, you know, those...
Well, I just want to make sure I clarify that. Not that I think he's out fighting in the streets all the time.
Oh, I know what you meant. So, yeah, running back, that's going to be something fun to keep an eye on. Anything else, Derek?
Well, I mean, I think we got to flip to the other side of the ball and talk about linebackers, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of names being brought up with linebackers. And I think one that a couple weeks ago when we did our last episode, we kind of joked about Chief Borders not really doing much. And
Now
all of a sudden he's getting brought up in that jack spot. And, you know, I think John Bullock's probably one of the only guys that maybe is penciled in as your starter right now. And everything else is wide open.
So it's funny you talk about.
And Chief I'm not even sure if John Bullock's penciled in as a starter right now.
So Chief Borders, when we did the episode, like before the spring, I think it was, and we talked about him, and like the guy's not gonna be a factor. He was the one of the biggest duds on the roster last year. Came in with so much high hopes.
Well, They talked about him a lot in the offseason.
And he never panned out during the season.
And yeah, the fall, it was like, oh, Chief Borders this, Chief Borders that. And then football game started, and you were like,
where's
Chief Borders? I mean,
but it's funny because Matt Rhule said, I think it was last week, that Chief Borders is probably the most improved player on the roster. So.
And here's the thing. Like, I don't really see Matt Rhule being the type of guy that hands out that kind of praise.
Yeah,
if it's without not true. Some truth to it. You know what I mean?
Sure. And I hope it's true. You know what I mean? Derek. Oh my God, drink every time. Here, you know what I mean? EJ. Okay. No. Anything else about linebacker? Oh, yeah. Keep on going with the linebacker.
Well, I mean, then you got Principal Ume Milan still that he's lining up at linebacker right now. You got Chief Borders. You got MJ Sherman. Like, the room's deep, and there was a lot of promise last year with a lot of these players. But then you got that Stephon Thompson that came in from Syracuse. Sounds like he's finally kind of coming around a little bit. I know he was having a little trouble adapting to the culture, it sounded like, or figuring out the Nebraska way or however they want to put it. But it sounds like he's finally coming around. So, I mean, there's a lot of names to throw around.
Mekhi Bear.
Mekhi, yeah, absolutely. I know I'm going to miss a bunch of them probably, but there's just so many names to throw around. It'll be interesting to see. I anticipate it being a lot like last year where you're not going to see more than probably 30, 35 snaps out of any of these linebackers, which is great because in November they could still be somewhat, you know, healthy, hopefully.
So I believe that when we did the defensive depth chart 2-3 weeks ago or whatever it was, that in our 2-deep we had the same 6 guys, I believe. And that was John Bullock, Javon Wright, MJ Sherman, Mekhi Bear, Stephon Thompson, and Prince Will. All 6 of those guys, right? I would not be shocked. I mean, I could see any of those guys cracking the starters. Any of those six.
Absolutely.
And you know what?
And if Chief Borders is in there now all of a sudden.
Maybe he cracks the starting. You know, I mean.
Yeah. If he's as improved as Rhule's making him out to be, it's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see how that pans out because just all the depth there. I think we're in a good position either which way. But we need to be replacing Luke Reimer and Nick Henrich, right?
Yeah. And I think the rest of the position battles, like outside of quarterback, I get that there's still a quarterback battle, but. I think we all know who's going to start, right?
Yeah, so I'm not going to list that as a position battle. What I'm going to do is I'm going to change the category here into what are you looking forward to most in the spring. And this is where I'm going to bring up the quarterbacks. Because for me, I know what Satterfield is saying. I know what Matt Rhule is saying, that he wants the competition to go into the fall. I completely agree with that. But I think most fans, me included, we're all penciling in Dylan Raiola as the starter. We fully expect Dylan Raiola to have a hell of a game during the spring game. We just want to know if he's the real deal. I suspect that we're going to figure that out very soon. I think that what they're saying about Henrik Harburg, the vast improvements that he's made, I'm sure those are all true. I agree. That he's having a good spring, I'm sure that is true. But I fully suspect that Dylan Raiola has separated himself. And if you want to look at it in terms of a gap, I'm saying this before I actually see him play a full game at the college level. If you want to call this Saturday a college game, so be it. I am for the purpose of this. I think you're going to see the gap between Raiola and Harburg and Kalen to be very wide. That's what I expect. That's what I'm looking forward to the spring game, is to see Raiola and see how big that gap is. Derek, am I just too big of a Raiola homer right here, right now?
Here's my thing. Like, I want to believe everything you're saying is true. I really, really do. But I'm still in the same boat that you are with the receivers. Like, I got to see something.
Right.
And so, do I think he's better than Henrik Harburg? I don't think it takes a lot to be a better throwing quarterback than Henrik Harburg. Okay, nothing against Henrik Harburg. I love that kid, and I've been a defender of him all of last year and most of this offseason. I don't think he's as bad as people give him credit for. But it doesn't take a lot of improvement to get better than any of the quarterbacks we had on this roster last year.
Yeah.
So yes, I hope you're right, that there is a sizable gap, at least between Harburg and Raiola. Now if Daniel Kalen's somewhere in between them two, so be it. I don't know if I see it. I think Harburg's experience probably still puts him at the second best quarterback, maybe. But I don't know. But I'm with you. Like, I'm penciling him as a starter. Like, if Raiola's not the starter game one, we're probably in trouble, right?
Hey, how are you going to feel leaving the spring game? If you leave the spring game and you don't feel that there's a sizable gap between Raiola and the other quarterbacks,
I'm going to be pretty worried about this offense again.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I liked what Harburg did last year for us. I mean, he gave 110%, but I mean,
he is not a He is everything that he is. Everything that a Nebraska Cornhusker stands for.
Yeah,
he's not, but he's just not the most. I mean, I
hard working. He's tough.
He's a very athletic kid.
He's very athletic. Yeah,
and he's got a strong arm. Yeah, but his throwing motion is not the greatest, and he's not very accurate.
But you know what, Matt Rhule and Satterfield, they both said that his accuracy is getting better. He's really improved his accuracy. And,
I believe they said he's leaps and bounds ahead of where he was.
Light years ahead. So
light years
ahead. Light years ahead. So that is good. So I don't want to knock him too much. But
you have to wonder, and I just talked about Rhule not giving compliments without meaning them, but you kind of wonder if maybe some of that's coach speaks too, right?
Sure.
I understand that he's not the type just to throw out a ton of compliments, but he's also not going to come out and bag on a kid either.
Right. I mean, look, when it was Sims, Purdy, and Harburg back there, he said that he trusted all three of them to start a game. I don't know about that.
He was like, that's because he was like, I might have to have all three of these guys start.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I don't know if you really trust that.
He had to.
He had to. But it didn't make them great quarterbacks. I mean, I can start a football game. Should I? No. I should not start a football game. Can I? Yeah, I can start one. Big difference.
I can make it one play.
Yeah. While I run around behind the line of scrimmage yelling, blow the whistle, blow the whistle. And
the first hit I take, I'm not getting up for 3 weeks.
At least you're getting up. Yeah, so quarterbacks, that's going to be fun to watch. I want to see all three of those guys excel, but I'm definitely rooting for Dylan Raiola just to kick some ass.
Just take the rings. Just take it and be the guy that you're supposed to be.
So,
hopefully.
Did you listen to Matt Rhule speak last week? He was asked the question during this the scrimmage about who led the 99-yard drive.
He said he didn't remember.
It's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, who was it? It's like, it's either Raiola or Harburg. Come on. What's he doing?
Oh, he remembers. He knew right away.
You know, he doesn't think that people are going to find out.
He's just trying to keep the expectations off of Raiola. I mean, that's all he's trying to do. But
it was so stupid.
But the media is not helping. Like, the expectations for Raiola is outrageous.
Of course they're high. He's supposed to be the savior. We haven't been to a bowl game in a long time.
I mean, but you look back at it, he is probably even more expected out of him right now than Adrian Martinez coming in freshman year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
there was a lot expected out of Adrian Martinez his freshman year.
Everybody thought Nebraska was going to go 9 wins that first year, right? Nobody's saying nine wins. At least I don't think so. I don't think people by a majority are saying 9 wins is the expectation for Nebraska this year. I know there's some people out there that are probably saying that, but.
No, but I'm not talking so much about wins. I'm talking more about, like, Dylan Raiola has to fix the whole offense. Like, I understand there's got to be other players on the field, but the expectation is Dylan Raiola is going to fix the whole offense.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's where we have fallen as Husker fans. We're looking for a savior. And right now, Dylan Raiola is the savior.
And I think even when Adrian Martinez came in, like, yes, the expectations were high as far as wins went, but even he wasn't expected to just be, like, the whole offense.
No.
Even though he was probably a majority of the offense. But I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what Raiola can show in this game. And I hope we see him for more than a couple series.
Oh, Casey Thompson-esque? Come on.
Yeah, That's my favorite game. Hey, you know what?
If that is the case, then we know who's the starter. Yeah. Everything that Matt Rhule says after that is bullshit. Because, I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. You can't say that absolutely. There's a quarterback battle headed in the fall. You play Raiola for like 2 series and pull him. But moving on, what else are you looking forward to most in the spring game, Derek?
Well, I think you got to be... I hate to call it excitement because I don't know if it's ever exciting, but just to see how much the offensive line is going to improve and who's going to play where. Yeah. It sounds like there's some shifting going on. Who's going to come out in what groups? You know, Mazkua sounded like he was a little behind the starting position when he came in. Sounds like he's catching up. Lutovsky sounded like he was making a run for a starting job. Justin Evans Jenkins was kind of making a run for a starting job. But there, I mean, again, you only got 2 guards. I think you know your tackles are probably Prohaska and Ben Hart. And your center is going to be Ben Scott. Like, there's no question about those three. But it's those 2 guard spots, and do they improve? Like, this is the first time we're going to have Prohaska healthy for a full spring.
Right. I think when you look at the offensive line.
And Ben Hart, can Ben Hart take another step forward? Like, he was the most improved offensive lineman last year. But can he take another step forward? Is there another step forward for him to take? Let me put it that way instead.
I think he would tell you yes. I think Donnie will tell you yes. Well,
I guarantee you they would say yes. But is there? Because he played pretty damn good ball last year.
So let me put it this way. If there wasn't another step to take, he would have gone to the NFL. He wouldn't have come back.
That's fair.
What I'm looking forward to is, like, on the offensive line area, everything that you said, I want to see who plays what, who plays where, when do they play, what groups that they're playing with. But I'm also interested in seeing is, have we finally stopped having a leak on the offensive line? You know, I mean, what I don't want to see. I don't want to see, like, tackles getting blown up like what we saw so many times last year. I want to walk away feeling good about that offensive line. And I know that there's a drop-off when you get down to the second and third team guys. I get it. But with that primary group, I want to know that they're just solid and there's no obvious leaks. So, not that I'm going to be watching the offensive line close during the game, because I'm going to be watching the playmakers. That's what I'm going to be doing in this game. I'm watching the playmakers.
I'm never going to lie to you. I'm not. We've said this on this podcast time and time again. We're not X's and O's guys. I'm not going to sit here and look at the blocking scheme and go, he was supposed to block this guy. Because I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend to know.
And I don't care.
And so that's why I could watch it all I want and it wouldn't do me any good, because I wouldn't know who was supposed to block who anyway. So,
but I can tell you,
it does.
I can tell you when somebody gets blown up, though.
Yes.
That you can see. Another thing that I'm looking forward to the game, and we've kind of talked about this, is how long are the projected starters going to play? I mean, that's something that I'm interested in, because I want to see the good players, the starters. Like, I want to see them in for a while. And I'm not going to be unrealistic.
At least a quarter, right?
Yeah, at least a quarter. Maybe a quarter and a half. But I do want to see our best players in that atmosphere. Or not in that atmosphere, but, like, play actual football. And I know that, you know, a lot of these younger guys are going to play, and this is for them. But, you know, if the game is for the fans, you got to reward them with some good play.
Especially when they're, I mean, it's sounding possibly 60,000 plus.
Yeah.
Which is like the fourth highest game for spring games this year.
Is it? Okay. I haven't really been paying attention. Much.
I know, I think Ohio State's got the most right now.
Yeah, I think Ohio State and then Alabama.
Alabama, and then I think it was Penn State.
Okay.
I think Penn State had like 67,000.
I heard Michigan had like 30,000 or something.
31,000, I think I've seen. Yeah, I think Michigan fans are checking out a little bit.
Well, I mean, they lost half their offense, lost their coach. Well, not offense. They lost half lost their roster.
Yeah, they lost half their roster, almost all their coaches.
Yeah. That's got to be a punch in the jimmy.
Yeah.
Anything else, Derek, for anything else that comes across those lines? I mean, anything else that you're looking forward to in the spring game?
I mean, there's a lot to look forward to already. I don't have too much more, I don't think.
Okay. So if we were to look at dark horse or surprise players on offense, give us a name.
All right. So I'm going to start with Demetrius Bell.
There you go.
Because you've heard a lot about him. And we've talked about a possibility of him being in the two deep. So I don't know if you want to call him a dark horse. I would still probably lean towards dark horse.
Absolutely.
Definitely a surprise player. Maybe Mike, not Micah Mascua, the other one, Maurice Mascua. You know, he could be one of those dark horse guys that maybe you see him getting more playing time than you expected. Ja'Cory Barney, another wide receiver. Trying to think. That might be about it, I think. Everybody else I was expecting kind of take a step forward.
Well, I have no other names. I mean, you took my names, too. those are three guys that I think on offense. I mean, I guess if you want to throw a guy in there, which is hard to evaluate, but we're hearing a lot out of Sam Sledge, right? So as we're talking about offensive line, how we're excited to see that. I want to see him play well, but I can't evaluate that. You know?
There was a tight end brought up today, too. Not Lieben Tripp, but the other one.
Lindenmeyer. Lindenmeyer, yeah. Yeah.
He could be one, maybe. I will say that's the first time I've heard his name brought up all spring. So
True. Haven't heard his name much. What about on defense? Dark horse or surprise player to emerge on defense?
So, number one surprise player for me, from the start of spring to now, on the whole effing team is Blyhill.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice.
Like, I expected, I'm probably going to sound like a bit of an asshole here, but I expected nothing out of Blyhill. He came out of, what, Northern Iowa?
I think so, I believe, yeah.
Something like that. And when we picked him up, I was like, really? We're already pretty full on spots, and this is the guy we're going to get? And now all of a sudden you're here, and it sounds like he's really truly pushing for the starting spot opposite of Tommy Hill. So, I mean, you might have the Hill brothers on the corners. And I if you'd asked me that even 2-3 weeks ago, I'd have said, no way, Blyhill. He might be in the 2 deep, but there's no way he's starting.
Imagine this, in the fall, Hill and Hill on defense and a Johnson and Johnson 1-2 combo at running back next year. Both are possible.
They are both possible. We got a couple lawyer groups in here.
Hill, Johnson and Johnson. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for right now, for me, that would probably be my biggest surprise. Number two would probably be Chief Borders, and we kind of talked about him earlier, but hearing about how much he's improved would be a big surprise to me.
A guy that you didn't mention that I thought would be, maybe it's because you already had him in your 2 deep, but like Vincent Shavers, hearing a lot of great things about him. And I think that this is a guy that fans are finally going to see. They'll be like, that dude needs to be playing.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of spaced him off, but I'm definitely excited to see him play. I've heard so much about how they're talking about this kid like he's, I don't know, like he's been there for a while.
He's
already learned everything.
Is it like an Ernest Hausman type thing?
That's what it's sounding like.
Just extremely talented. I mean, yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah, Vincent Shavers is definitely a good name. I'm excited to see him.
Are you getting more excited for the spring game now that we've been talking it out now?
Yeah. I am. I'm excited for it. I don't know. I'm kind of ready for summer to start and just get into golf. And before you know it, magazines will be out. And then everything gets real fun because then you start seeing some comparisons from other teams.
Hey, you want to do a Bloody Mary FaceTime at 9 a.m. on Saturday? I know you don't drink Bloody Marys, but have a beer with me.
Yeah, we might be able to do that.
Well, awesome. All right. Anything else about the spring game before we call it quits?
Hey, go Big Red.
Go Big Red. I'm excited. Game week. It's here. Hey, special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for our episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. And as always, go Big Red.
You know what I mean?